Leptospirosis is a dangerous bacterial disease that affects humans and animals. Dr. Matt Fraker from the Prairie Oak Veterinary Center in Normal says lepto is one of the most underappreciated common pathogens that we deal with. It's a bacterial disease that often comes from small mammals in our daily environment, like mice, raccoons, and voles.
Lepto is shed by these mammals. It often ends up in standing, little areas of standing water, sort of stagnant standing water, or ponds. It can be in certain soils. Two things historically backed us off really addressing lepto as a health issue in animals, and this is primarily going to be a dog issue also. Cats can get lepto. They have a much lesser issue with it than dogs do, mostly because we don't see as many outdoor cats. Your dog just laying it outside in the yard might be able to access this disease. We used to treat it like a rural disease. You know, you're hunting dogs, your dogs living in the environment, oh, they're going to be exposed to lepto, so we might want to think about protecting them.
Oh, so there's a shot for this. There's an actual
there's
shot.
There's a vaccination.
Okay.
Now, here's the other big issue that for, in my opinion, many years ago, the leptospirosis vaccines did seem to be associated with an increased immunological reaction. So they turned a lot of people off because you really wanted the dog to have a risk to give a vaccine that everyone perceived had a higher risk of allergic reaction, which was probably real. They had some protein-based ingredients included in the vaccine in those times, and there might have been an actual increased incidence of allergic reaction. That's not the case anymore, nor is the case that lepto is a rural disease. It absolutely is not a rural disease. We have had dogs, two dogs that I know of, that we have lost who acquired lepto, and they never left a fenced-in backyard in an urban area.
Is it always a death sentence?
No, leptospirosis can be very variable in its presentation. Most commonly, it's going to make a dog definitely feel blucky. It's not going to lurk in a dog. A dog's not going to have an active lepto infection and be fine. They're going to get some degree of sick. They can get sick, and it typically is a kidney-affective disease. It can affect the liver, too. Rarely it can affect only the liver, but it's generally associated with kidney disease. And what can happen in most cases, now that we're looking for it a lot quicker, and that's been the case for the last decade or two, we look for lepto on a lot more animals than we used to. Catching it early can make a lot of difference.
But how can we spot it? I mean, other than the dog being bleh.
Well, this one, I personally feel the onus is more on the veterinarian community to remember to look for this disease. We felt like when we started looking for it, and this was back in the days at a Town and Country Animal Hospital, we were finding it. And this was also back when you pigeonhole which animals should be vaccinated and do we do the vaccine. And now we're to a point where anything that walks through the door, if it's sick enough to have blood work done on it and there's any evidence of kidney or liver elevations, particularly kidney elevations, you immediately go into lepto mode. Now, in terms of the level of illness, so on the one hand, you can have dogs come in, they look okay, they're kind of blucky, and a lot of these animals will respond and completely respond to treatment and never have problems down the line. You get this middle range of dogs who do okay, but may have questionable kidney function for quite a long time.
Oh.
And some of those animals are going to fade out into chronic renal failure, kidney failure, and some of those animals are going to recover. We've seen that go both ways. And then occasionally you get the bus wreck. I had a dog come in where the owner, I really thought the owner's being paranoid. And she had just gone through a hard time with another pet. So she was being really protective about her dog, who looked great in the room, was wagging, was responsive. And she's like, I just don't think something's right. So we did blood work. Everything was fine. All the numbers were normal. And she was still kind of pressing the issue. So I was sort of like, okay, well, we can always, you know, put the dog on IV fluids and go the full hospitalization route. It made her more comfortable. I thought it was pretty unnecessary. And a day later, I wasn't in the office, and one of my associates was taking care of this dog. And I called in. I'm like, how are we doing? And the dog had been sent to UVI. The kidney numbers had just exploded overnight, even though the dog was on the right drug for lepto, and even though it was being treated with IV fluids aggressively, the lepto blew up in our face, and the dog had to be put to sleep a day later. It had total kidney shutdown. So you have a disease that can be potentially catastrophic in 24 to 48 hours. That's a rare exception. That's a rare exception. But what isn't an exception anymore is which dogs are exposed to this disease. We're probably not quite there saying every single dog should be vaccinated to leptospirosis, and we're still a little bit cautious about our breeds and our minds that we feel can be more reactive to vaccines. It's not that lepto's a more reactive vaccine anymore. It simply is not a more reactive vaccine anymore, and there's still a lot of camps out there telling people, telling dog owners, stay away from it, it's toxic, it's poisonous, it's horrible. No, no, you're describing the disease you're trying to protect. It's toxic, it's poisonous, it's horrible. Let us get these dogs vaccinated. But because we do vaccinations now, and we're trying to minimize vaccination, we do rabies every year or every 3 years. We do our distemper now every 3 years. There's flu vaccines out now because of the two new flus floating around. We do have Lyme's in the area, but that does tend to be a little bit more of a animal access issue. You know, we're throwing all these vaccines in animals. You just take some little 6-pound dog, you can talk yourself out of vaccinating that dog. But flip that, we did have a dog that was a breed that didn't seem to be a particular risk for lepto. It was a Shetland sheepdog. It was our advice to, don't worry about lepto on that dog. And this dog, we lost this dog to lepto. So it's a disease the general public needs to be aware of, and the fact that it's zoonotic, that human beings can get lepto.
Yeah, let's talk about that. How easy can we get it? I mean, if we take our dog out, we have a dog run, the dog urinates in the run, and we get exposed to that. Is that how we get it at being a zoonotic disease?
That excellent question. Yes, urine is going to be the primary source of infection for a human being. I will say that I have seen a bunch of lepto cases in my years as a veterinarian, and as of yet, I've never seen a human get lepto.
So it's hard to get it actually from an animal, even though it is zoonotic.
Correct. It is. In my opinion, it is. It's a disease that every owner needs to be aware of. If their dog gets confirmed as a lepto dog, then they need to be aware that if they get flu-like symptoms, lower back pain, anything that just isn't right, that they need to be aware that they need to get checked by their own physician.
Is it deadly for humans too?
It can be. It can make a human very sick. Yes. When humans get it, the CDC notes that 1/3 of their reported lepto cases were probably from contact with infected dogs, and the rest are recreational environmental issues or field work with rats, actually. It is the same situation where you can have the same symptoms, the same illnesses and whatnot.
Should humans get inoculated against it?
No, I don't. In my experience, no. Again, seeing how many humans... seeing how many pet owners that we have encountered that had dogs, and some of these dogs getting late to the game to find out they had lepto, sort of like, oh wait, this dog's liver was bad first, now the kidneys are bad. Oh my gosh, this is lepto. And you know, and also keep in mind, that's our staff, that's our doctors. In my experience, I've never had to treat any of our staff for lepto, any of our doctors for lepto, any humans for lepto. It's just one of those things that we want everyone to be aware that it's a possibility. Because the other thing, the crazy thing about lepto is there's different versions. And this is sort of complicated, but important to understand. Dogs have to deal with 10 different types of lepto. Cats have to deal with 4 different types of lepto. Our vaccinations are protecting against 4 of the more common types of lepto, but not all of them. So even with vaccination, we're definitely not protecting dogs 100% because of the different varieties that are out there. We do think that the types that are concentrated in our vaccinations have decreased in incidence. So we do think the vaccine works for those types. But the problem is you can get burned by some of these other types. They're really cool names like Icterohemorrhagica and Grippotyphosa.
They sound like Greek warriors.
Exactly. But I think it's an underappreciated disease, somewhat in the veterinary community and definitely in the public community.
That's Dr. Matt Fraker from the Prairie Oak Veterinary Center in Normal. Some of the telling signs that your animal has been infected with lepto include loss of appetite, rapid dehydration, shivering, and muscle aches. Symptoms for humans are the same. I'm Laura Kennedy.